I think part of the thing that makes it hard for me, it's like there's a lot more I don't control in the relationship.
Beep, blah, 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 blah. Beep.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another episode of The Awkward Tea Party. This is a podcast where Max and I get to talk about whatever we want, pop culture, work, relationships, and anything. The last topic is delegating and balancing time as a polyamorous person and an entrepreneur.
Oh, that's all you.
So that's, yeah, I mean, if you have any questions. Yeah. Okay, I think I put that on there because I think one of the things that I personally have been feeling challenged with is balancing the whole, everything goes back to work-life balance or work-life harmony, however you see it. Just because, you know, you both know the workload that I do, that I have. And I, because I'm in relationship with you and Lauren, it's a very different call that I have to make, because now I'm being intentional about, because both of your love languages are quality time. So I'm like, I got to be intentional about blocking off time to hang out and to do things, and to, like, when you're in the East Coast, watch things, mm-hmm. and with, you know, staying over, and more often the things work and whatnot has been taking the hit of things I need to finish in terms of things I need to work on. So it, and I think we're still doing a great job because none of the clients left, but it's more like, I guess, letting go. Because trying to balance time between two girlfriends and three businesses, I can only imagine how hard that's going to be if Jordan was here. Oh my God. And the fact that I'm like practically not working for one week out of every month, it's just, yeah. And I think that's one of the things that has been a challenge, because it's different if I'm just working one job, one girlfriend, you know, or if it's so I think one of the things that it's definitely, like, I mean, has helped me lately is delegating. But this is something that I already am aware of. It's one of the, yeah, but then again, it's one thing to know, one thing to put to practice. Because I forgot what, I was watching this one podcast or training from the future, not the literal future, but like this mm-hmm. design company or group yeah. called The Future. And they did a, it's one of those lessons, like, oh, I like, it just keeps coming, and then now it's finally hit. It's like, oh, I get it. I get why I should do this, because now it's for me now it's a necessity that I have to do this, that I need to delegate, that I need to give it the work away in order to balance everything. Anyways, wanting to make sure that I give it's still an effective CEO as much as I am doing my best to be an effective boyfriend. Yeah, because it's like, it's one of those things, it's like relationships are, it's like, it's a slow build. It can't be like, all right, let's do this. Good relationship, but like, we can't do like quality time in 5 minutes.
No.
So that's what's true. That's like, I guess, the tricky part about relationships is the slow part. With business, it also takes time, but with that, there's the advantage of like being quick, because it's like, it's not about like, you know, it's not the relationship.
No one's emotions are on the line, really.
Yeah. In the sense, yeah.
Kind of.
But, yeah. But either way, like, just the, for me, it's more like discovering like what are the essential tasks, because for me, mm-hmm. Even after all these years, I'm still like learning how to delegate is this one of those things that has been tricky for me, because I do admit I can be a control freak of wanting to get my hands in everything. I like the part of getting my hands in the creative process, but it's also, you know, it's, I think they put it in a great perspective of like, in this video I was watching of like, if I'm working like 40 hours a week, and I'm spending 37 of those hours editing, I only have 3 hours left doing the essential parts of the video of the business, which is mm-hmm. marketing, doing prospecting and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And those are key parts. So it's just me letting go of like editing, and because then letting that go. And those of you guys listening or watching, you're just hearing me talk out loud now of my brain thoughts. Yeah, like it's yeah, because letting that go, as much as I want to edit, frees up a lot of my time to keep building and do the things that only I can do.
Yeah.
So I was like, which is why I'm delegating to you more stuff that I know you can do. Like, for example, you did the project tracking thing yesterday, which was fantastic, because I would have taken hours to figure that out. So, and then I was able, while you're doing that, I was able to, what was I doing? I think I was able to set up plan out the next 6 months worth of projects.
Yeah.
So, oh my God. But.
And then so, also, if you hadn't like basically let go of editing this podcast and like gave it to me or like anyone else really that's competent enough, but like if you hadn't let that go, it's whatever, but like the episode that we recorded last week wouldn't have gotten out this Sunday. I mean,
this
weekend.
That's true. You essentially know how the whole process is from the ground up, not just the editing, but mm-hmm. all the way from the filming to the editing to the SEO and uploading and to the micro content. So you know the whole process probably better than like anyone on VP now, because you can edit all the different types of content. So yeah, which is great because for me, this podcast can be put out consistently mm-hmm. and it's not backlogged, because we still have a podcast we filmed last year in September that still needs to be edited. So
I haven't even seen that yet.
I should. Oh my God. Yeah. So this is why letting go of things is important, because that backlog shit happens. Mm-hmm.
But like I kind of, not that I can understand and fully empathize, but just knowing who you are and how you are, like I know there's a certain way you want things done, especially if it's personal to you. And
yeah.
Like, you know, and if it's not done, quote unquote, correctly, someone kind of just like goes off and does their own thing and it's not to your specifications. And unless you're just like, oh, I should have just done this myself then.
Yeah, that's one of the things that, one of the reasons I hesitate about delegating is like, shit, like the time I'm fucking giving notes, I could have been using this to get the thing done. But then that mentality adds up, because mm-hmm. I can't do that for everything.
Yeah.
I feel like I delegate when it's more, I feel like more and more, I'm like, no, I need to delegate more. Mm. I was like, I can do this myself because I can do it quickly. Yeah. No, delegate more. Mm.
I think there's a thing that worries me kind of as your partner, not as your employee, as your partner, that at some point, because you are trying to balance being a boyfriend to two people and then also running three businesses at the same time, like at what point does something feel like, I mean, this also could just be because I'm insecure as fuck. Will it get to the point where something, one of those things, feels like an obligation to you versus something you want to do? Because like I told you before, like, you know, I think we like talked before that, like, you know, there are times that like I sometimes feel like spending time with me becomes an obligation, because then I hear you, I'm like, oh, I should be doing this, or, you know, like there was something you wanted to do with Lauren but you were with me instead.
Yeah.
So like, you know, like at what point, like, will that, or like at what point, or do you think it'll even get to that point? Like, you, like, you know, either being with me or Laura would feel like no. Trying, like doing, spending the quality time with us. It's like, you know, it's like, as opposed to, I want to go spend time with Lauren or Matt or both, to, I have to. There's the want to and the have to.
Are we specifically talking about relationship or are we talking about work here?
Either one of them. Like, at what point does one of those things just kind of lose its spark for you? Like, or do you think it'll ever get there?
Well, that's the thing with me. Once I'm in it for a long time. Mm-hmm. But I do see what you're talking about, where it's like, and now I have to do this. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of a drag, and I'm like dragging my feet. I don't know about the relationship part, especially we've been together for a long time. And then it's, I don't know. I think in order to feel that way, I feel like I would have to be hurt in a way where I feel like I don't feel valued in this relationship anymore. But even then, because I know my personality, I have a very strong urge to just like, what's the different angle? What can be done? Well, how can I communicate this better?
Yeah.
So that's definitely one thing. Yeah. And it's, I think one thing that makes me appreciative of either relationships is the freedom. Because it's like, if I go and I get out of my, and you allow me to have that choice of, I don't know, like say hang out alone or I'm working.
Not your mom.
But it's still, it's like, dude, I've been in relationships where like I had to report in. Just having that sense of like, sometimes guys are in this relationship where like, oh yeah, go, I'm going to go hang out. Okay. Mm-hmm. And it's like kind of passive aggressive kind of bullshit that happens.
Okay,
and
have fun.
Yeah, that kind of shit. And it's like, it's not even, it's not genuine, but it's passive aggressive.
Yeah.
Like the fact that it's like genuine, go hang out with friends, go do this, do all this stuff. For me, knowing that I have that makes me appreciative to want to come back. Mm-hmm. Like when I come back, because it doesn't feel like I'm being controlled when I'm trying to be my own person. Yeah, I think that's a huge thing. It's like we all understand, we all want to be individuals in this relationship, not the relationship defining us. Mm-hmm. Yes. And I think that's one thing that I think that I kind of fear. I'm like, oh no, like because all three of us knew it's different. And it's
three
like,
strong personalities coming together.
So I think that there's that inner fear a little bit of, oh, like I don't like, is it, you know, it person's moods, and that we kind of experienced that and whatnot, so that kind of worried me. But yeah, in terms of the relationship, no. But in terms of work, mm-hmm. I think it might be a while, but like I know for sure
find something else to do.
Yeah, I know for sure, like in terms of creativity, I'm always going to create. Like the whole question, if I didn't have to worry about money, I know for sure I'd be fucking filming, creating some fucking videos. Yeah, I would be vlogging a lot. Yeah. Just like all the activities we do, because I find life fascinating. I find the things that I do with my friends fascinating, and I feel like it's awesome to be able to re-experience that, like in any way. Because then we could be like, then we can talk about memories, and then we have a library of all these memories we experienced together. That's mm-hmm. the stuff I appreciate Casey Neistat and all the whole, like that vlog genre, even though it's like in a sense dead, it's still like fun, because it's like, this is someone's life. And it not so much where it's like vlogging because it's like, oh, I have to do a thing. Mm-hmm. Like, no, it's like, I would be creating, like, this is my life. This is what I'm doing. This is my story. So, and with VP, as much as I enjoy clients, I honestly, I think I've shared this, right? And the podcast, that I want to shift away from working with clients.
Yeah.
So like, I want to shift away from, because I love clients. They pay a lot of money, but I'm also like.
But you also like, don't want to just answer to someone.
It's not so much to answer to someone. It's more like, it's still, there's still the trade-off of time to deliver those things. Like, even though, yes, we're delegating Delgado. Yeah, but even though we're delegating, I'm delegating all our stuff, and I'm not editing, and the team's helping produce a lot of things faster, and it's still like, I'd much rather just use these resources for myself and for Temper Tantrum.
Yeah,
it's because then because it these are two projects, two things I really give a shit about, because then yeah, because I feel like it's having more control to do things that I care about and just would be more fun, a lot more freedom of, you know, not having to go on set. I think the only I would like to just film our own things.
I do want to say that, like, I think you've been doing this since before, like since pre-Polycule. Like, I do appreciate that, like, you do take the time to carve out time to spend with me, or like, you know, or now with Lauren before you go somewhere else, before you go film, before you go to work, before you like literally jump into work, or you go to Lauren or you go to me. I do appreciate that, like, you do find some sort of time to like spend with us, like before you go do something else, before you like quote unquote leave us, but like, you know, not like that, but you know what I mean. I can't word, it's almost midnight. I do appreciate like the effort and like you know you actually like trying like genuinely spend time with us, and like I know, like, especially like with me right now, because you know, we're doing this over Zoom, or like, you know, it's the things we can do are limited. We literally just watch things or we podcast. But yeah, because I think one of my insecurities too is just that, you know, while I'm here, what are we doing? We're just watching things. Like, I'm not doing anything fun. Well, it's fun, but like, you know, like, it could be more fun. Like, we could actually be doing things.
Like, yeah. Well,
you know, not homebound or whatever. Like,
yeah,
I think that's, you know, still an insecurity for me that like I'm not fun.
Oh, you're fun.
I'm not fun. That, like, you know, at some point you're just gonna be like, oh, it's just another day of watching things with Max.
No,
like we could have been doing something else. I could be doing this. I could be doing that. I could, you know, whatever. And I'm like.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when you were here, we do like the things, like we do hang out. So it's just different. I think we're doing a great job considering the circumstances, considering this is also a polycule too. Mm-hmm. So it's a, and even that, I think the challenge for me was balancing my time with you when you were here and then balancing that with Lauren. And I think that was just like, I think, a really intense test run of like how I need to balancing time and emotions and all those things. We'll talk whenever Lauren hops on the podcast, and honestly, I would like to just do that podcast in person. So that way I think that if we do a podcast between the three of us, it'd be fun in person.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, definitely. I'd say huge growing pains, because it's, even though there was experiences that kind of were rough. I think it was, I have the belief, and it might be toxic positivity, but things happen for a reason, because then that reason or lesson I extract kind of helps dictate the next action of like, yeah.
I think I was going to say like everything that like, I mean, I consider them all, like, I am not the most positive person out there, you know that. but like, I do consider those, like, you know, like learning experiences, because I've said this before, we don't know what we're doing.
Yeah.
Like, we can get all the support we want. We can get like some peer support all we want. We can, you know, get all the therapy that we want. But like, you know, we are still three different, like, we are still a different unit. We are still three different people within this unit. So it's just like, it's like the way the three of us operate are kind of different. So somehow we got to make it all work together.
Yeah.
Because we have chosen the structure that both metamors like get along.
Yeah. The kitchen table one.
And it's like, you know, cause I mean, for those that don't know, metamors are the, or me and Lauren, basically, with Emory being like the hinge that brings us together.
Yes.
So there are structures that we've heard of that You know, the metamorphs have nothing to do with each other. They know of each other. They don't talk. They're civil, but they're not friendly. And I'm like, that's kind of weird to me.
So yeah, then there's kitchen table poly. I forgot what it was. There's parallel, which is just like they don't know. Then there's kitchen table because they can actually hang out. And then there's lap sitting where metamorphs are also intimate.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I think it's lap sitting. I could be wrong. I'm messing up my
terminology. I think it's lap sitting.
But yeah, because so, and then
but basically remember, everybody intimate.
Yeah. So, and then we're not there. We're at kitchen table.
Yeah.
So where everyone is civil and friends and whatnot. And I think that's, mm-hmm. I think from what we saw from like the peer support is like, it's a rare thing.
It's a rare thing. But I think for me, that was a good thing. Cause I think before when you opened up to me, before you told me that it was Lauren, that you were thinking of opening up the relationship to, I was like, I don't want anything to do with this person because I didn't know who the fuck it was.
Yeah.
You were talking about like this thing. It's like, I would never date within the friend circle.
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You had this whole thing about you not dating within the friend circle. So like I ruled out anyone that's your friends with.
Well, that's the thing too. Like
to begin with, I'm like, who is this person?
Like the thing too, like, cause not only that, I'm only also the director and she's a part of one of my dancers. And then, yeah.
And now I'm bored with you.
And then there's that one of those things of like one nepotism, favoritism, and you know, all the isms that come with that. But you know, it's one of those things like the heart wanted what the heart wanted, and then kind of wanted to see. Like it's very much, you know, you kind of get know my methods. Like I'd much rather know than not than yeah. ponder. So and at that point I had it, like I think I told you or I forgot who, how did I know I was poly, but it was, when I was like looking it up more, I literally felt like the clouds parting and a ray of sunshine on me, like yes, I resonate this like the sun. It just made sense, all my past behaviors that I
yeah we talked would, about this on
yeah the previous podcast yeah. Yeah, so all those things. So anyways, yeah, it's the whole, yeah, that's had its, and I think may still have its own set of challenges because of other people's, you know, they're all other people's judgments instead of aiming to understand or seeing people as the individuals.
Mm-hmm. Because we live in a society.
Yeah, because we live. No matter what, people are going to judge. So we shared the original game plan that we were going to try to keep it low key for a while, but it just
yeah, we were going to wait a year.
It just made it hard to operate as in relationship to each other.
And then it also like made me feel very guilty about like, you know, me and you like being completely out as like a couple or whatever. And then because we were kind of keeping it low key, like Lauren's just kind of there.
We're just dating is fun. And like, you know, because people already are aware of the challenges that entails. And then, but now the addition of dating two people, it's even more challenging. Not challenging. Because I don't even say, because it's, for me, it sounds like challenging sounds like it's hard.
I mean, it's not easy.
That's fair. But yeah, it's trying to be like trying to balance all that. And sometimes between everything, because you've seen me, I feel like there's I think it's for something I personally need for myself is a solid self-care Sunday for myself kind of thing. Where, because you see where there's the pressure. I feel like everyone needs me to do something.
That's
everyone.
True.
Like I need to be a good boyfriend to you, a good boyfriend to Lauren, a good boyfriend to the companies. Because I want to do something I want to do. Mm. And then that kind of stuff. So either way, one thing that that's kind of been helping is the shout out to Atomic Habits was like, you know, they very much talking about like people are very focused on the outcome and the result that they want, but they don't think about the processes to get them there. Mm. And if people were focused more on the processes, they would still get the goal they want if they optimized their process. So for me, it's thinking about like, what is the process for me to be a good boyfriend to you and Laura? Because I think more like as I'm old, getting, I'm only like 34, but you know, the importance of relationships have greatly and are much bigger now compared to when I was first starting my business. And then what's the process for me to be a better CEO or better to, what's the process for me to grow the company into the direction that I want? So part of that is like the question for these processes is like, who do I want to be? And what's in getting clear on who I want to be in work, in relationship, kind of and oh man, I feel like I haven't said this in a while. Vision dictates action. So like kind of seeing who I want to be kind of dictates like, okay, makes it easier. Cause then it's like, say for example, I want to be able to be a good boyfriend to you and Lauren. And I know doing, hanging out with you and hanging out and doing say podcasting and watching the movie with you or staying in class with Lauren, that's part of the being, like, cause they're doing things that we would. So that means part of that process also means having to give to sacrifice time, for lack of a better saying, working instead of my former million hours. If it was just us,
you no longer have unlimited time to work. Well, virtually unlimited time to work, because now not only do you have this needy bitch, you have another girlfriend.
Yeah, so it's like
who's not as needy, but still.
So, so that goes into the question: how do I be an effective CEO? How do I continue growing? So it's like, therefore, and I need to delegate better use of my time in terms of like growing the company and all the things.
I think also the quote unquote challenge that like, you know, polyamory presents is that, you know, that you're dating two different people. Like we have, you know, like we have virtually the same love language, just it, like, you know, like the, like almost the same top three, but we're still two different people with like different needs and different levels of each need.
Yeah.
I guess. So like, you know, navigating those two, because, you know, you can't do what you do with me to Lauren and vice versa. Like,
yeah,
that, you know, that can't work like all the time.
Yeah. And it's another person, more people, more emotions, more complex, the relationship, more, a lot more to navigate. And it's different. And I think part of the thing that makes it hard for me, it's like, there's a lot more I don't control in the relationship versus the company. Versus companies, I'm like, do what I say or you're fired.
Or you're fired, yeah. If you try that with us, we're like...
like, do what I say or else what?
Or else what? Or else stand over.
Or if I ever like talked like terrible to you guys, I know it'd probably be done.
Or
like,
you would be single in a heartbeat.
Yeah, because it's like, it's... So, yeah, it's... just navigating through everything. But it, yeah, I don't know. If the main reason I'm sharing with this is one, because I'm narcissistic. But I feel like I to play on that joke, I feel like I had very strong narcissistic tendencies when I was younger, but I feel like maybe not as much now, but maybe, who knows. I mean, I fucking do YouTube. Come on.
I mean,
this is a slight level of narcissism to be on YouTube. I mean,
according to child psychology, children are self-centered, period, because that's all they know.
That's fair.
So, and then eventually they grow up.
You calling me a child?
No, I'm saying it, like, people grow out of it at different rates.
I'm a man child now.
I am.
But yeah,
sometimes.
Just, if anything, if you guys just take anything from this, is like, balancing work-life balance. I think that's like the whole thing a lot of us are trying to do. Instead of trying to achieve the thing, it's like, who do we want to be, and kind of focus on that, and figure out, like, you know, say the famous question, what would Jesus do? You know, that kind of thing. Like, not so much that, but like, so like kind of an eye, like someone you kind of, yeah, because then what would he do?
That's true.
Because the dude was all about love.
Yeah.
And he was, he's hippie as fuck. Love one another as you love yourself.
Yeah, long hair.
Fuck the man. Where, you know, eat fish. Here's bread. All this stuff. Eat fish. Yeah. Come on, because you know he wasn't exactly a fan of the established.
Like, he wasn't,
you know, and that's why I was crucified, because like one of the reasons. But yeah, so, anyways, like that kind of question, like this kind of ideal version of like, all right, what would he do? And then you kind of like, and then he kind of creates this space to I guess be creative to operate and think in a different way.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things that I think my favorite questions is like, what would that look like? And then you get to play, you get to paint this picture of being, and then which helps with the doing, and then eventually gives you the having. So yeah. Yeah.
It's new to us, especially new to, like, you know, especially to you, because I think because you are the hinge, you do have to, there's a lot of legwork on your end, because you are the hinge of this relationship. Like, I know, like, you know, like, I talked to this with my therapist before, and I talked to you about it too, that, like, you know, there was a lot of things that, there was a lot of emotional and mental legwork I was doing that I didn't realize I was until I had time to think about it. Cause like, you know, like I'm like always like in my head was always like, you know, you're the one doing most of the work in this because you're the hinge in this. Like there's a lot of balancing on your end. There's a lot of things, but like, I never took into account how I would be stretched so thin emotionally and mentally because of it. Like, you know, there's certain things that happened that like affected me, but like I never realized how much it actually like affected me and my psyche until I like had time to sit down and be like, why am I like, you know, why do I feel like this, even though, you know, like even though this wasn't about me or something.
Yeah.
Because then I was also like thinking like, if there were something happening between just you and Lauren, I'm like, you know, that would affect me just because I care about the both of you, but also like, I'm just like, I also don't want to make this about me.
Yeah.
Cause it's not about me, but at the same time, like I think I'm trying to punish myself for being affected.
Cause it has
and like, cause yeah, then yeah, yeah. If I'm affected and I tell you about it, then I'm making it about me.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, what do I do? Do I just not tell anyone? Do I just tell my therapist and nobody else? Like, do I keep it to myself until I can get to therapy? Like, you know, and then that becomes, how much more therapy will I need then? Because I'm waiting until I get to therapy to talk about this.
Yeah.
Because you know, this whole thing, like, I don't want to be a burden. I don't want to make it about me because it's not about me. But I felt what I felt, and like, is this valid? Am I okay to feel this? So I'm just like, you know, like the whole time I was just like, literally forget what I'm feeling, whatever, or downplay it. And I think I wasn't consciously downplaying it. I was subconsciously downplaying it.
Yeah. It's like, it's
not big in deal, my head, it's just like, yeah. Cause in my head, it's just like, in my head, it's just like, this is about them. This is about them, not me. So like, get over yourself, Max. Like, it was like that for me. So And then after sitting with it, I'm like, oh shit, this is a bigger deal than I thought it was.
Yeah.
Now I got to process it like after the fact, which is a lot harder.
Oh, isn't most processing happening after the fact?
Oh, there's things that I like process like during.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about this off this, but yeah, it's definitely different because, you know, if for example, like you did a great example, like each in relationship is in a sense separate from each other.
Mm-hmm.
There is sometimes the rippling effect that happens from one to the other, which is not something that's common to in monogamous relationships, I think, because my brain is just like, oh, here's this perspective.
Yeah.
Like, what about even if it's a monogamous relationship, just this argument in my head of, even though it's a monogamous relationship, it can still affect friends.
Yeah.
It can still affect that stuff, but it's different because we're all romantic partners, and it can affect either person either way. But I am glad that we were able to process it, and I think that's one of the things that I do enjoy about our relationships is the fact that there's a lot of emotional maturity that we can for us to be able to talk, and we do go to therapy because it's like.
We stand therapy on this podcast.
Yeah. For those of you considering it, there's nothing wrong with it. We're going to keep echoing that. It's like, it feels great for someone to just unload your shit without someone, you know, like just judging you. Yeah. Because if you unload your shit to maybe your mom or your friends, like, you know, they have they have their opinions, but they also have their own baggage too.
Mm-hmm.
So. And you know, it's great to have someone to lean on friend wise, which is, you know, that's fantastic. But also like therapy is kind of like the objective, like friends, they're subjective. Like they're close to you. They're too close. But with therapists, they're just like, that's here. What about this perspective? They get you thinking. And a lot of times, not a lot, maybe depends on how deep the issue is. But they'll definitely get you reflecting because the best way to change is, you know, to have someone be that mirror for you and kind of questioning your line of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes it may make sense for that moment until you hear a question, until it's questioned, and maybe it causes a paradigm shift.
Yeah.
I'm talking out of my ass now. Hopefully I'm making sense though.
No, I mean, from personal experiences, that's all I know, is that there are things that I want to talk to you and Laura about like really bad, just because you're like two of the closest people to me, obviously, but also like I don't do it until I talk about it in therapy. Like I, you know, there are times where I like in the moment I'm like, should I talk about this now or talk about it after therapy?
God, you are much stronger than me in that sense, man. Shit.
Because most of the time when I do, like, you know, when I do start talking like to you, like before going to therapy, it kind of goes to shit a little bit, like, because I don't exactly know what I'm trying to say. Like my feelings are there, my brain is there, like, is kind of there, but like it just won't process it won't come out the way it's supposed to.
Yeah.
So like when, you know, like recently, the like when I'm telling you things, it's like not filtered, as like I'm not hiding anything, but it's like it's been processed.
It's been
you're getting a second pass.
more refined.
Yeah. You're getting a second pass. So like, you know, like there's my therapist's like opinion and like suggestion and like, you know, their diagnosis of it, essentially. Yeah. And, you know, and the thing is, if it makes sense to me and then I agree with it, that's when I'll tell you, like, I'll tell you, like, yeah, no, so she says it's this, and I think she's totally right. Because there's things that happen to me, or like things that I feel sometimes, and then there's another thing that happened before, or that I felt before, like a while ago, that I never thought to connect. Because I mean, it's, you know, it's me, it's my feelings, it's my brain, it's my emotions, but same time, like, I'm too close to it that I don't think to just look at the bigger picture of it. Because obviously, because I'm in my feelings, like, I don't have time to look at my other feelings.
Yeah.
To look at my the other time I felt this way or whatever. So my therapist knows almost everything about me. She's like, oh, what about that time that this happened? Do you think it's connected to that? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, oh, right. That happened to me. Like, you know, it's, and I feel like with therapy, I'm able to explain myself better to you and Lauren, like, you know, like, just why I am the way I am. Like, it's not an excuse or anything, but like, I'm giving you a better insight as to why I am the way I am.
Yeah, there's context.
Yeah, there's context. So it's not just like, oh, you're just being a dick.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, you're a wreck, you're a mess, you're whatever. Like,
yeah,
like, there's a reason for it. Like, I'm trying to work on it. I'm trying to fix it, quote unquote, fix it. But like, this is why, this is the work. This is how much work I need to do in order to be better, order to be a better partner, be a better friend, person, whatever.
A friend person.
Friend person. But yeah, like, I don't, yeah, like, we stand therapy here.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, it's helped us in a lot of ways. It's definitely helped me to be, I wouldn't be the person anywhere near emotionally capable to date two women if I hadn't gone through therapy.
Yeah.
Or yeah, just, yeah, there's a lot in it that helps. So yeah, anything.
And the thing is, I lucked out with this therapist. Like, I had a couple therapists before that were like, not that they were judgy, but like, they just, I don't know, they just kind of never bothered to understand where I was coming from with a lot of things. And this was like, you know, like years ago. And then I found this one, and, you know, and she instantly got a read on me, and like, knew that there were ways to get me to be more receptive and like, be more open than just forcing me to open up.
Yeah.
You know, and basically telling me, you only have 45 minutes to open up to me, like, you know, chop chop or whatever.
Has that happened?
Yeah, I've had a therapist like that immediately dropped.
Whoa.
immediate no. They were older too, so they were just like, I don't know, and they were probably busy. Like, they were, you know, I'm trying to make excuses for this person. I'm sure they're good for other people, just not for me.
Yeah, that's
I'm a slow burner when it comes to opening up.
I definitely would not have vibed with that at all. Like, mine has to be like, honestly, I have a huge preference in a female therapist because I feel safer. Because
huge preference for females, period. Female presenting people, period.
Okay. But because, I don't know, I grew up with my mom. My dad wasn't there. I didn't have exactly a great relationship with my dad. So it's just like, I feel safer with women because I feel like I feel, at least the ones I've experienced, like the ones that I vibe with, just the empathy was there. That's the one that definitely has to be there. And then I'm glad that this new therapist that I got was just, I vibed with right away. Mm-hmm. So because it's like, I don't know, because of all the therapists I've had, there's only one that I felt was just, I felt like I was clocking it in, and it was a dude. So I'm not saying all dude therapists are like this, but that was just my experience. Like, the first one was I'd say a middle-aged woman. Second one was a dude. Third one was female. Everyone after that was female. So yeah, and like my anger management, female, parenting class, female, my domestic violence class was a dude, but he was kind of, I liked him because he was kind of old school and just kind of like, with him, he was arrested in the 70s and he got out like in 2003. So, and because he shared me his old story of why he got in jail. But and then he was just like trying to, he kept it real. So, but it was more, I don't know, very rigid in a sense. Like, yo, fuck up. I mean, this was going to happen to you. That kind of stuff. And I don't really respond to that because for me, I'm like, if you're going to come at me, I'm going to come at you back. Yeah. Because it's like, because why do you, you don't need to present it that way. If we're, why can't we just talk like people? So, but I it's not like I'm saying I did that in class. It just because that would land me another 52 weeks.
Exactly.
Yeah, I was there. Because what helped me with that class was hearing other people's experiences. Because then I would be like, oh shit, this, and then I like, this is how I not fuck up.
And I feel like with my current therapist now is that because she is closer to our age, like she is in her age group, that like she's not exactly a relationship therapist, so when I do talk to her about like, you know, what's going on with us, what she cares about is me, my well-being. So like sometimes it's like, you know, I agree with her definitely like for my well-being, but like I also have to, me, like I personally have to take that and be like, but what would, you know, let's say if she told me to do this thing or whatever for me, but yeah, if I do this thing for me, what would that do for either you or both of you, or like either my relationship with you or our unit, basically.
Yeah.
And you know, then like, and I like bring it up with her, like, you know, like, I, you know, I totally get that, like, you know, I'm your client, you're not a relationship therapist, so you're looking out for me, but also like there are times where I think, if I do this, would this be selfish? If I do this, would it fuck something up?
I mean, isn't self-care in a sense kind of selfish because you're taking care of yourself?
Yeah. But also, like, you know, but like to a point that, like, will this negatively affect our relationships, essentially? Like, either my relationship with you or our whole, like, unit.
I mean, I could.
But also, I'm one of those people that's like, I don't want to be a burden. I don't want to be too selfish. I abused people tend to be a bit more empathetic, too empathetic sometimes.
I mean, because I could see how it makes sense because you're being selfish, and then, but the thing is, ultimately, you know, if you're not fully taking care of yourself, and then it makes being in the relationship, it's kind of like a catch 22 in a sense.
Yeah, it's a weird tightrope thing that I have to walk.
But ultimately, even though it just does, because I know there was one thing in exercise that kind of like, that I got upset about, but it was also an exercise that your therapist did. And then if anything, it was very much like a one, two steps backwards, and then we progress forward. Mm-hmm. So at the end, you know, you had no control of the response, but you'd got to do the thing that would matter to you.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I don't like how I responded to it, to be honest, but it's like, for me, it was more like, how do I, like, another thing of what this trigger, or like, how do I continue not being a fucking idiot when I get when I get this triggered? Because I reflect on, like, when I get mad, or like, how can I show up or how do I control myself? I try to control myself as often as possible, but it's like, yeah, I don't know. I felt like I was kind of a dick during that interaction.
With me? So,
during that, yeah. And during that exercise, I felt like I was kind of a dick. And I don't like that, because it was also, because then it kind of, it doesn't support the exercise that you're trying to do.
I mean, I wouldn't have had to, you know, I wouldn't have had to do that in the first place had I just not put everything out there to begin with. But then again, that was also like, I didn't talk to my therapist yet.
Yeah, you wanted to go through the filter.
I wanted to go through that filter, but then again, you know, I guess like, you know, in your view, it was too late or something, or like, why are you bringing this up now? And I get it.
Yeah. And then,
because I think you were at the point where like, I thought we moved past this already or something.
Yeah. And I think that's the thing for me, now that I'm just reflecting on it, because like some people, just because I got moved past it doesn't mean everyone else moved past it. Because I think that just kind of reminded me of like some old argument, old shit that I used to experience. And this is, I think, just honestly, I think, maybe an ego thing, just a control thing.
Awkward tea therapy.
Yeah, because definitely like the whole, I experienced that a lot in my previous relationship. Like I had moved on, she had not. And I was frustrated because I think it goes to the whole thing of like, I'm not exactly a whole fan of having to backtrack if I'm trying to progress forward.
Yeah.
But now that it just, not obviously just breakthrough, but just like thinking about it is because like sometimes, like just because I move forward doesn't mean everyone else is. So that means, I don't know, like in a lot of these RPG games, you have to go back into the same place to move, to fucking progress. So
yeah, most games that I've played that require some sort of puzzle, you got to go back and forth to things. And I guess, yeah, that's, you know, because I have had like interactions with like exes where it seemed like I was dwelling on something, but it was because it took a while for me to process how I was feeling. And then I brought it up. Like, let's say it had been days or whatever. Then I'm like, oh, hey, I need to talk about what happened the other day. And they're like, I thought we already settled this.
Yeah.
And I think that's what I was afraid of when I, like, you know, when I did that exercise, I guess, because what I was afraid of was I thought we already moved on from this. I thought this was fixed. I thought you were okay now.
Yeah.
Or you seemed like you were okay. You said you were okay.
Yeah. So, yeah.
So I was like, it got to the point where I'm like, you know, this was like obviously pre-therapy. Well, I've been in therapy, but not with this therapist. And I'm like, I was at that point where I'm like, so should I just not talk about my feelings?
Yeah.
Because it takes me a while to process them.
Yeah. I mean, just speaking for myself, because I know I when I'm upset, I try to do a timeout.
Yeah.
But then I do kind of come in like it's pretty strong with the I feel statements. Mm-hmm. So, because I need to, I don't know how you do it. I need to say something.
The I statements definitely help. I don't want to say rigidity, but like the rigidity of the format kind of helps ground what you're trying to say, as opposed to just going off the rails of like, you know, of basically saying something you didn't mean.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's terrible. Yeah.
Yeah. But like for me, it still takes me a while to even like process something to get to the point where I can start using the I statements. It's not that I don't know how to do it. It's just, it takes me a while to really get to where I'm at, to actually pinpoint what I'm feeling. 'Cause I can just say, I can just say this, like, this feeling sucks, but what is this feeling? I don't know right now. That's why it takes me a while to do that. That's why, like, you can immediately, like, launch into it. I'm just like, hold on. Hold on. I'm like, it does take me a while. And, like, and also then there's the other side of that, like, the second part of the I statements, which is the request.
Yeah.
And sometimes I don't know what I want, or I don't know if I even want something.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I just, you know, I just want to tell you how I feel, but, like, it's either what, I don't want to say that the request isn't reasonable, but, like, you know, what the quote-unquote solution is something that's impossible, then, like, you know, that's not much of a request. That's more of a demand.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, I can't pinpoint an actual thing right now, but, like, there are times where it's, like, you know, it's like, I tell you the thing, so what do you want from me? I'm like, I don't know.
What do you want?
It's not that simple.
What do you want?
When I say I don't, like, and I know it's, like, frustrating. It's like, you ask someone what they want and they don't know. And that's why I'm just like, that's why it also takes me a while. It's like, do I even want something? If I don't have anything for the second part, should I even bother saying the first part?
Hmm. Maybe it's like, I don't know. Sometimes all we need to say is how we feel. Maybe we just want to be heard, not with necessarily solution.
That's true.
But I don't know. Because I've had those moments, like, I don't, like, because I feel like sometimes, like, you know, there are some things in my head, like, the request is completely unreasonable.
Yeah.
Like, so it's like, yeah. So,
because, like, sometimes if I feel like the request that comes to mind is unreasonable, then is the thing that I'm feeling valid? Because I don't have an alternative or a fix or a solution to it.
Mm.
Is that even valid? Like, should I even be feeling this? Like, there's a lot of like my issues stem from me not thinking my feelings are valid because I have been gaslit my entire life for having feelings.
I mean, maybe it's just needing the validation that what you're feeling is okay.
Yeah. I mean, that's also why I'm in therapy, because, like, every time I tell my therapist this, like, should I even feel this? She's like, yes. Like, you're more than allowed to feel what you feel, but, like, you know, but I mean, there's also, like, the quote unquote, but it's quote unquote within reason.
Like,
yeah. Like, it's, you know, the whole, like, because I'm very new to polyamory, so are you, so is Laura. It's like, and even then, like, what I've been reading is, like, jealousy will always be a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Jealousy is normal and valid, but being toxic isn't.
Ooh, that's good.
I saw that in polyamory thoughts.
That's a, like, good one.
Jealousy is normal, but being toxic isn't. So I'm just like, so the whole thing about, like, jealousy, it's just like, you know, like, I like the feeling of, like, jealousy and scarcity, and it's just like, I'm trying to, like, logic my way out of feeling it, because I got it into my head that, like, I signed up for this. I shouldn't be feeling this.
Hmm.
Like, before, you know, that was before I realized that, like, it's normal that it's just going to happen. Like, that something like jealousy or something adjacent to that is going to be occurring in my brain.
Yeah.
Basically. And just, you know, basically having to manage that so it doesn't get toxic.
Yeah.
So I'm like, yeah, so, like, it's, you know, one of those things that, like, I tried to gaslight myself out of feeling that, because it's like, you signed up for this, you said yes to this.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, so why are you jealous? Why do you feel scarcity? You said this was okay. Like, you know, you said it was okay for him to spend time with her without you.
Yeah.
Or something like that. Like, so why, you know, like, stop, basically. So I'm just like, so how am I supposed to feel?
It's confusing.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's one of those that, like, you just have to come to terms with the fact that I'm going to feel what I feel. I just have to manage them.
Yeah. And communicate. It's I mean, shit.
Talk to my therapist first.
even though I'm, like, I feel like even though I'm the hinge and I am in a sense part and emotionally supporting both of you, it's also like there's the perspective that I don't know is when I'm spending with Lauren and what you're feeling, or when I'm spending time with you, what Lauren's feeling. And I'm pretty sure like it's turned out they're fine, but then there's us as a group.
Yeah.
And then those type of emotions. And that's something that at least right now in this point in time, I don't experience it. And then because the option's still open to both of you to see other people. So, and then it's still, and then that's something that I may or may not experience, because the whole I forgot, but yeah. It's one of those things. In theory, in my head, I feel like I'll be okay, but I know I'll definitely experience it myself. But right now, it's something that I can only experience through an imagination, whereas you and Lauren definitely experience it.
It's kind of like a different kind of emotional labor to like feel this quote unquote negative feeling, but like, at least for me, I don't want to feel it because like in my head, I don't think it's appropriate to feel it, or I shouldn't be feeling like, again, because like I signed up for it or whatever. It's just coming to terms with the fact that I'm a human being.
Yeah. Human being.
Like I'm a human being and I'm going to want things and I'm going to need things and I'm going to want things from you and need things from you. And sometimes you can't deliver it. And I just have to come to terms with that. Like can't deliver all like that. Not that you can't deliver. You can't deliver right then and there.
Yeah. And that's it. You know, that's where like for me, that's where I feel the pressure of like how finite my time is. And it's like, sometimes I'm like, oh, this would be different.
Yeah.
If I just had a regular.
Because, you know, the whole thing with like polyamory is just like, you know, it's kind of like the flowery way to like look at time in polyamory is you're not getting less time. You're just sharing it.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good way of putting it.
But logically, if you're looking at numbers, there is quote unquote less time.
Yeah. Less
like,
time.
Because like if you're just looking at sheer numbers. So it's the whole, you know, it's kind of the battle between the like super like logical part of it and then the whole like emotional and the more quote unquote like flowery side of it. It's like, yeah, I totally get it. Like, we know this is a shared thing now. But at the same time, like logically, I'm just like, you know, if I'm keeping score, that's another like toxic trait that like I am working so hard to avoid is the whole keeping score thing. Because I'm just like, you know, it's just like, it's like you kissed her for 2 seconds longer than me. Like, an extreme example, but like, yeah, it's just one of those things. It's like, you know, that's like, for me, I guess, like I said, internal battle between those two. And I have to basically just like, you know, think, I mean, I still have to look out for me, obviously, because like, you know, if you're definitely spending less time with me, then I'm going to say something. But yeah. Like if you're clearly like, you know, avoiding me for like 3 days out of like 7.
Oh my God, that's terrible.
So, yeah. For like 3 whole days out of the week. And I'm just sitting there like, okay, whatever. And I'm just like, then yeah, like, you know, that's obviously I'm going to say something, but like if it's, you know, minuscule and or whatever, then it goes to the whole, it's shared time. It's not less time, it's shared time. Like, then it's trying to find the balance between that, because I'm just like, because again, like, it's hard to unlearn the monogamous, like, tendencies that I still have.
Yeah.
Because I've been monogamous 5 fucking years. So it's just like, and I've been monogamous for, like, a long time, too, like, another relationship. So it's just like, you know, it's like unlearning that and just trying to like reason with myself, essentially.
Yeah.
So I don't know how it is for you, but yeah. Or Lauren, I don't know how it is for either of you, but yeah. That's how it is for me when it comes to like
time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the way, yeah, I am always trying to be mindful of nights that we hang out. Like,
yeah.
So that's something I'm trying to be mindful of. Like, for me, I honestly, in terms of like time spent, I try to, I guess it's kind of like keeping score. Cause I feel like it can, cause then, or at least a quota for me. Mm-hmm. Cause then it, for me, it provides a sort of direction and intent.
Yeah.
And it keeps, for me, I feel like it keeps me accountable in making sure that I give the quality time.
Mm.
It's so like, so, and then one thing that I definitely need to personally work on is giving myself the quality time. But yeah, that's definitely how I've been processing it. Say for example, this past week, I was like, okay, Monday and Tuesday was at Lauren's because I got booked for a gig on Tuesday, so I stayed there, and then Wednesday, Thursday, now I'm hanging out with you. Mm-hmm. So that's how it's kind of, I'm trying to keep it balanced, and albeit it's different every week.
Yeah.
Every week are something different, but
yeah,
I do try to keep a minimum quota of like at least two each. and then the other 3 days are kind of like up in the air of like what's happening.
Yeah.
Or a gig.
Yeah.
Or, you know, or if I want to do something for myself.
Yeah.
That's how that way I'm intentional. I'm not trying to guess.
And so. I think like for me at least, like I, you know, have to keep in mind that again, like while I'm still here, like the stuff that we can do is obviously very limited. Like you'll have to be at home.
Yeah.
For us to hang out, and I'll have to be here like as well to like for us to hang out. And you know, it's not as easy as somebody driving somewhere to just hang out.
And, yeah.
And like, you know, and I think that's also been like kind of like a huge concern. Like that was like my biggest insecurity when we first started out, like all three of us, is Lauren has the means and access to drive to you, albeit it's a long ass drive, but she can drive down there. It's mm-hmm. not across the fucking country.
Yeah.
It's not a 6-hour flight. So like, you know, I think that was like my biggest insecurity, that like, you know, on a whim, she can just come over and, you know, and I'm just like, and you know, I have to wait until you're free, or like, I have to wait until, you know, you want to.
Yeah.
For me. And I'm like, and I think, yeah, that was, that kind of triggered a lot of anxiety for me back then. Cause like, I didn't, you know, like we were just kind of getting our bearings. I wasn't like doubling up on therapy at that point. I was just like, I was a mess. I was a fucking wreck. Mm-hmm. And like, and I think I tried to communicate that with you, but I didn't do it correctly. Cause I was just like, I made the way I worded it before was more of a comparison thing, and like it was a comparison thing, and I like made it sound like, you know, I made it sound like Lauren had the upper hand on me or something.
Mm-hmm.
And it made it sound like it was a competition for your time. And it wasn't that. It was the fact that I don't have that. There was something that she had that I've always wanted that I don't have.
Yeah.
And I'm like, so, and you know, and again, I'm like, what, so what does that mean for me?
Mm-hmm.
But again, I didn't communicate that properly, so it came out shitty.
I see what you're talking about.
But yeah, I mean, you know, we're getting there, we're getting better.
I feel like we have, and yeah. I think the next challenge is we'll see what happens when you come back in September, but I think we started getting our bearings like towards towards the last week you were here.
Yeah.
But I feel like, you know, definitely a lot to learn.
There was a lot of learning that was happening.
Yeah. That's it, everyone. Thank you everyone for watching. Hope you guys enjoyed. Do all the things. Follow Max on social media if you want to, if she allows you to.
If I allow you to.
Yeah. And Yeah,
my Instagram is all. You're always welcome to my Instagram.
Yeah, follow the Instagrams. But thank you everyone on Instagram and on Twitch for watching for Fuel Caution, and everyone on Instagram, Leo, Julian, Christy, Jean.
Mel was on there a little bit.
Yeah, Instagram. Mel for a little bit. So thank you everyone for watching. We'll see you guys in the next episode of Awkward Tea Party. Take care. Bye.
Ah. Cue Noelle. Beep, boop, 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 beep.